Good morning. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist. I'm Lynn Pavelski, a member of Prairie. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and an open-minded congregation. We welcome people of all ethnic and religious backgrounds, whatever your color, sexual orientation, gender, or family structure. We welcome you no matter what your age, or your abilities, or your inabilities. Later in the service, we'll invite visitors, guests, and returning friends to introduce yourself so we might get to know you a little bit better. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services. They're presented either by a Prairie member, a member of the wider community, or by our new minister. Today, Paula Pichars will be presenting about the, oh my gosh, I'm losing the name here, about Carolyn McDade.
This is a quote by Carolyn McDade. To what do you bring your clear, passionate dissent? And to what do you bring clear, passionate assent?
Now we welcome our member, Paula Pichars, up for our presentation today. I don't have a bio to share, but you've already seen her a few times, so I think we all know her well.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Barb. That was beautiful. So the songs by Carolyn McDade that you're hearing this morning are just a few of the many pieces of music she's created over the years. Music which she began making as a child. It first gained an audience in the 1980s, and it continues to be made today. She continues to make music in collaboration with communities of women's choruses. McDade's songs over the decades have touched on the great causes of our times. Her songs are inspired by her love of and concern for the planet we live on, the ideal of helping humans live in harmony with the planet and with one another, and what is a wellspring for her, women's spirituality. Indeed, McDade is one of the women who have helped to define women's spirituality as much as it can be defined. When I suggested that we have a program on McDade's music, knowing well that I would then be asked to present it, I knew of four of her songs, Spirit of Life, Come Sing a Song with Me, We'll Build a Land, she provided the music for that, and Rising Green, which Barb just sang. I was glad of the opportunity to find out more about this person who could write this music which touches so many people so deeply. These songs would be legacy enough, but McDade has offered the world so much more in the more than five decades that she's been creating music. What I'll be saying about Carolyn McDade this morning is based on information she shares on her website, on conclusions that I've drawn after listening to her music, and on a 2007 article in the UU World written by Kimberly French. And I have to confess that much of what I'll be sharing is taken from the UU World article. McDade was born in 1935 to a Southern Baptist family in Louisiana and grew up in a series of small towns there, though she has made her home on Cape Cod now for more than 30 years. Her mother was a teacher and homemaker. Her father worked with farmers for the Department of Agriculture. They were not a particularly musical family, but her parents did buy a piano. She remembers clearly the day it came to the house. Her family was not a singing family, but she began singing as a young girl, it coming naturally to her. Since she was shy and not interested in sports, she turned to her only sister and the piano for friendship. As she puts it, singing takes her to a place of deep washing, where she is taken for a ride on a strong current, soaked and embraced, and then returned after a time to her place on the piano bench to a regulated life in a room with walls. Water and its restorative power is a recurring theme in her music. When she was 6 years old, the United States entered World War II. She says that the misery depicted in newsreels, and particularly the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, was a strong influence on her later peace activism. While the men were away at war, women took over many of the social and economic roles formerly held by men, and seeing their strength and effectiveness helped to form her feminist consciousness. Other experiences shaped her. In her words, in the South, the close exposure to one another of black people and white people, of rich and poor, gave me immediate and personal experience of the severity and cruelty of racism and economic injustice and how they intersected. This proximity also gave us the graced moments when the spirit broke through the human structures and we saw ourselves in one another. The understanding of separation as loss of relationship, human resource, and soul, seeded work for racial and economic justice. McDade grew up. She became a teacher, married, and had three daughters. At the time of the Freedom Riders in the early 1960s, she and her family were living in Austin, Texas. The church she belonged to at that time remained silent on the civil rights movement, but she knew that she had to act. A friend helped her find the first UU Church of Austin, and she marched in her first demonstration. When McDade and her family moved to Boston in the mid-60s, they joined the Arlington Street UU Church. During those years, however, of starting a career and starting a family, she had put her music aside. She says on her website that in those early adult years, her heart and her creativity were gradually shutting down because she had cut herself off from what was her most natural means of expression. But one day, a minister at the Arlington Street Church asked McDade to find music for one of the first women's services. But, says the UU article, when she went looking for songs written by women, she was appalled to find so little available. So, late one night, she went to her piano and sang what she wanted to say to her three daughters asleep upstairs. That became the song, Come Daughter. That was a turning point, the first time she had sung from her own experience. Okay, here are a few lines from that song, and note the water imagery. Come, daughter, come with me to where rushing waters flow to the sea. We'll share what has been and what's yet to be, for now's the time for living. Go, daughter, be bold. Go, daughter, be bold and climb the mountains up to the sky. Race the waves rolling so high. Yell with fury and sometimes cry. Your life is yours for living. It was only by reclaiming her creative power in song and combining it with the principles of social action that she found herself again. She says, gradually I made my way back to that piano bench, to the river that held it in such grace, that made song the essence of life, a deep prayer that permeated every cell with a fertile engagement with the simple act of living. She quickly immersed herself in the groups of women activists rising up in the country in the mid-1970s. She was very active in opposing wars, South African apartheid, U.S. foreign policy, and nuclear power. She worked for economic justice, environmental protection, the rights of women migrant workers, prisoners, lesbians, and refugees. She always passionately identified with the feminist movement. Early on, she joined with the women and religion groups within the UUA, demanding a place for women's spirituality. In 1980, Carolyn McDade and Lucille Shuck Longview conceived the water ceremony as a way for women who lived far apart to connect the work each was doing locally to the whole. Each woman brought a jar of water from the place where she lived, and during the ceremony poured it into a bowl, naming what made it precious to her. And then each blessed the woman next to her with water from the bowl. So Carolyn McDade, which was news to me, was one of the originators of the water ceremony that we have adapted and that Prairie and many other UU churches use as an ingathering ritual every fall. At the same time, in the mid-70s, her husband Jim left the family, and McDade was left with the three girls to support. She suddenly had to figure out how to do that. She first worked as a crew chief, picking apples, and later worked at Boston University and at an alternative school, Palfrey Street School in Waterton, Massachusetts. I have no information on why the marriage came apart. McDade is silent about this private part of her life, but it's probably safe to conjecture that her very active involvement in social causes added to the usual stresses of married life. In the 1980s, McDade became a leader in the movement to oppose U.S. policies in Central America. She chaired the Sanctuary Committee of the UU Community Church of Boston, offering illegal shelter to political refugees and thereby challenging U.S. government policy. She traveled to Nicaragua and helped clear stones from land the Sandinista government had given peasants under constant threat of attack from U.S.-backed Contras. She traveled around the U.S. on speaking tours. Her life was intense with demonstrations, arrests, threats of legal action and violence, and endless meetings. And I often marvel at people like Carolyn McDade, who are so passionate and so dedicated and so tireless in their work for a cause that they continue the work over the years and over the decades, sometimes without seeing much result for their labors. Susan B. Anthony comes to mind, Alice Paul, Cesar Chavez, Aung San Suu Kyi, Nelson Mandela, and closer to home, people I can name in Madison and in the Prairie Society. And I've often wondered, how do they do it? How do they keep the passion? How do they find the courage to take risks when so many of them have the option of taking refuge in the security of a conventional life? How do they maintain hope when so much seems hopeless? How can they go out, not just once or several times, but again and again and again, and keep fighting the good fight and inspire others to do so? How do they renew their commitment every time they wake up in the morning? I think the key to the answer for many of these heroes is community, working beside others who share the vision, and having that support and validation can keep the spirit alive. Music, with its emotional power, can be a crucial part of bonding members of that community. And I believe that often that individual contains such strength and commitment to personal truth that they cannot allow themselves to do otherwise than act on that truth. Which is not to say that these heroes don't have moments of despair. And now we get to the genesis of the song, Spirit of Life. It was at one of these low moments that the song, the prayer, came to McDade when she needed it. Late one night in the early 1980s, while returning from yet another meeting, she clearly remembers the feeling she had of being tired with the world. She told a friend, "I feel like a piece of dried cardboard that has laid in the attic for years. Just open wide the door and I'll be dust." When she returned home, McDade walked through the house in the dark to her piano, sat down, and prayed. And the prayer that came out was Spirit of Life. She shared the song with the community of women she organized and sang with, as she still does with all her songs. It was a handwritten version with just a melody line. Unknown to her, UUs began sharing and copying it from gathering to gathering without getting permission or paying her. So she was surprised and reluctant when the UU Hymn Book Commission asked her if it could be included in the hymnal Singing the Living Condition. Tradition. She considered it a prayer, not a hymn. But to our joy, she did allow herself to be convinced. She did, yes, allow herself to be convinced to allow it to be included. But what I don't know, she lives a very simple life, very frugally. I don't know if she negotiated a royalty agreement with the Hymnal Commission. Does anyone know? Seems like that. But you know, her ethic was to always share her music and put it out. She had written Come Sing a Song with Me in 1976 and Rising Green in 1980. Interestingly, she had dropped Come Sing a Song with Me from her songbook because she found it too sweet. "I don't like sweet songs," she says, "so I left it beside the side of the road to languish. I didn't even leave it a pot of water. There you go, out the window." Years later, what did I see coming down the road toward me but this sweet little song? Other people had found it, loved it, cared for it, and it had a life. And there was a particularly moving experience when she shared that song in a prison visit, and the words to the song became real and fresh to her again when the prisoners were singing the lines about hope. Despite her commitment to the creative experience as a communal one, McDade does not take kindly to having others write additional verses to her songs once they are out there. There was some friction some years ago about extra verses some UUs had written to Spirit of Life to sing in their churches. So she asked them to stop. Her feeling is that others need to find their own melody, that they shouldn't lose what they want to sing, but that they need to find a way to make it their own. In general, however, she believes that it's important to let songs, once written, go out and have their own lives. McDade wrote the music for We'll Build a Land in 1979. This song is rooted in the Hebrew Bible and anti-war activism. Her friend, Barbara Zanotti, spoke at the Riverside Church Disarmament Conference, one of the first women to assert a claim to a speaking role with that group, and crafted her speech around the words of the prophets Isaiah and Amos. McDade adapted lyrics from that speech for We'll Build a Land. So those are the songs we know best. Carolyn McDade's greatest hits among the women's choruses she works with are ones most of us haven't heard of: Serpent Song, Woman to Woman, and This Ancient Love. McDade's personal favorites are Natsiki's Testimony, Song of Hands, and Sorrow and Healing. There's a reason these titles are unfamiliar to us. McDade's music is not for everyone, and there will be more on that in a bit. The words to This Ancient Love are distributed among your seats. I wanted you to see them and hear them because it shows how strongly her spirit and her heart are connected to the earth. And I have chosen a few readers to read through the stanzas of this song. Someone have the first one? The first one.
Long before the night was born from darkness, long before the dawn rolled unsteady from fire, long before she wrapped her scarlet arm around the hills, there was a love. This ancient love was born.
Long before the grass spotted green the bare hillside, long before a wind unfolded to wind, long before a wing unfolded to wind, long before she wrapped a long blue arm around the sea, there was a love. This ancient love was born.
Long before a chain was forged from the hillside, long before a voice uttered freedom's cry, long before she wrapped her bleeding arm around a child, there was a love. This ancient love was born.
Long before the name of a god was spoken, long before a cross was nailed from a tree, long before she laid her arm of compass across the sky, there was a love. This ancient love was born.
Wakeful are nights, slumbers are morning, discover the grass sowing green in the hills. We wrap our thin arms to hold what our arms held. This ancient love, this aching love, rolls on.
Thank you. What you can't tell from the words is the sound palette that McDade uses. Kimberly French describes This Ancient Love and other of McDade's recent songs as flowing and slow, low in key, and containing musical allusions to bird calls and rhythms of nature, such as the roll of waves onto shore. On one of her latest CDs, My Heart is Moved, McDade intersperses recorded animal and ocean sounds with her music. And as I said before, her songs are not for everyone. They've been called New Agey. Last week I heard that. French says, some think that they're overly sincere, drippy, and maudlin. The lyrics are heavy in metaphor, thick with poetry. Water, grass, birds, and breath recur as themes. And I especially wanted to include men because she doesn't use masculine pronouns. Did I say that before? Okay, nary a one to be found. So she doesn't often write popular songs, but that's not her purpose. She creates music to feed the circle of women activists she works with. Her main audience is a generation of women who raised one another's consciousness in the 1970s and who came out ready to change the world. She creates music to feed her own spirit. She creates music the only way she knows how, with her own voice. And I'd like to show you part of an interview with Carolyn McDade. It may or may not happen. The interview, it was on a DVD. It was made about 10 years ago. And I hope you have the opportunity to see her and listen to her voice, but most importantly, hear her tell why she must compose music in the way that she does. And the DVD was shot in Cape Cod, with the beach in the background, and it's a lovely intermingling of natural sounds and sights. In the film, you'll see a young child. Oh no, that part I cut out. But at the time her granddaughter was living with her, she was about 10 years old. Now her granddaughter is a young adult. Okay, well, that was her hair. It strikes me she's developed her language over years, and it may seem too long or too wordy or too flowery, but it just stems from her very honest attempt to always explore as deeply as possible and be as honest as she can with what her own truth is and however she wants to express it. So as a young adult, Carolyn McDade found in Unitarian Universalism acceptance, affirmation of her personal values, a fast track to the world of social activism, a spiritual home, and many friends. In later decades of her life, she has created a different spiritual space for herself. She does not call herself UU, though she still embraces all the beliefs we state in the seven principles. What does she call herself? In her words, "I now name myself simply a woman of faith seeking with others to touch what matters. My passion, freeing women's generative energies to act as social, planetary, cosmic beings on behalf of ourselves, one another, and the well-being of the whole. My ardent desire is that as a movement, we nurture the myriad ways of creative expression as paths to deepen human consciousness, to envision a society worthy of this blessed creation, to act in ways that are transformative." The path Carolyn has walked has brought her fame in certain circles, but not much fortune. She was in Cape Cod. Simplicity is a way of life with her. She presents retreat programs of social action and music in the United States and Canada throughout the year. She travels among women's choruses, working on musical projects that every few years or so result in a CD. The women in these choruses don't only sing, they are all passionately active in working for social justice and the environment. To sit among one of McDade's choruses, to sing with them, says Kimberly French, feels like entering a sacred place. This is her place, her community, her work, the place where her songs live. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for all the music makers.
And now our closing words for today will be read by Paula.
Adapted from by Carolyn McDade from the Earth Charter. This is a time when humanity must choose its future, a future that holds both peril and promise, to focus not on having, but being. Having or being, the choice is ours.
Thanks to everybody for coming today. Please extend the hand of friendship to those around you and join us for coffee.